إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد، welcome all of you. We continue reading from الملخص في شرح أو الملخص الفقهي الملخص الفقهي لفضيلة الشيخ العلامة بقية السلف فضيلة الدكتور الوالد صالح بن فوزان الفوزان حفظه الله تعالى وغفر له ولوالديه وللمسلمين والمسلمات آمين. We're still in a section of الحج باب في محظورات الإحرام. Last week we began this chapter, the things that the muhrim should not do. Once a person engages in a state of ihram, there are a number of things that before that moment they were halal, they were okay for a person to do. But as soon as the person say, labbaik Allahumma umrah for instance, or labbaik Allahumma hajj, then at that moment there is a number of things that become haram for the Muslim at that moment. Just that Muslim, not all the Muslims on earth. The Muslims who's making Hajj or Umrah, once they engage in a state of ihram, it become forbidden for them to do certain things. We mentioned from them what? Who remember? Huh? Naam? Ahsant, halq al-sha'r, taking the hair, whether from the head, or from the mustache, or from the pubic hair, or the armpit, or the beard. Huh? No beard, okay? The beard, la. It's not permissible to take from the beard. Tayyib. That was just... Na'am. And so this is one of the things. Number two, what was it? Taqlim al-adhafir. The trimming or cutting of your nails, whether the fingernails or the toenails. And number three, Naam Hassan, ماذا قلت؟ أي نعم. For the man to cover their head, to put something that touch their head, such as kufi, ghutra, turban, or anything. But there is exception for carrying something. Somebody has a luggage and he has to carry it on. Some people, they have the habit to carry the luggage on their head. It's okay. Or it's hot. Or it's raining. Yeah, you can use an umbrella. Okay, it's okay. Labas. You can be under a roof. You can be in a car, on a bus. And therefore, there is a misconception, as we mentioned before. Certain people, they think nothing should be on top of your head. Your head is supposed to be straight from your head to the heavens. And therefore, these people don't even go in a car or a bus unless if it's convertible. Okay? And they don't go inside the house. They stay outside. They don't go in a hotel while they're in a haram. They stay in the street. They don't go under a bridge. Nothing. Allah is that. Hardship. Jahl, ignorance. And we continue. Al-Mahdur al-Rabi'. Number four of the things that become forbidden for a person who's in a state of ihram. Lubsu al-Dhakar al-Makhir. Ala badanihi aw ba'dihi min qamisin aw imama aw sarawil. Wa ma umila ala qadr al-udu kal-khuffain wal-quffazain wal-jawarib. Number four is the wearing for the men. This is also for men, not for the women. Wearing al-makhit. Al-makhit on their body or on a part of their bodies, such as a t-shirt or shirts, garment, pants, underwear, turbans, or the hoofs or socks that goes in the feet, or the qufazain that they put on their hands, gloves. And here the makhit, some people, especially those who know Arabic, when they hear the makhit, because I heard this question Hajj being asked many times, because sometimes when you sit in the gatherings of the ulama, alhamdulillah, and the ulama, jazakumullah khairan, for every class, once the class finished, subhanAllah, they give a lot of time after the class to answer a lot of questions. Sometimes the Shaykh may stay there for an hour and a half, 2 hours. This is after his hour, hour and a half class to answer so many questions. The Hujjaj, they come from. And this is one of the famous questions. Ya Shaykh, we cannot wear. Some people, they don't wear the izar and the rida that is stitched. This is because it's makhit, because there is khayr, there is a thread in it. But that's not what he mean, makhit. Al-makhit means that which is usually you wear, like sweater, t-shirts, hoodie, jacket, pants, this, anything that fits your body. Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, and many of them, Sheikh Abdul Uthaymeen, and many other ulama, but I know Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, he mentioned it many times, because I used to attend his classes, alhamdulillah, for Hajj. And he says, if a person in ihram doesn't have an izar, cannot find the izar, he can't find it, but he has a thawb, like a garment. Of course, if he wears it, that's permissible or not? Huh? No, it's not, because he cannot wear anything that fits his body. But if he take that same thawb and put it around his waist, it's okay. It's okay. No problem, because now he's not wearing it. He's just using it around him. Okay? No. And then make that thing clear. Alhamdulillah. And then the Shaykh mentioned the hadith that is in the Sahihain, Sahih al-Bukhari or Sahih Muslim. And now Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam su'ila ma yalbasu al-muhrim. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was asked, Ya rahmukallah, what the muhrim should wear? Look at the question. See? Somebody asked the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, okay, this muhrim, once he engaged in state of ihram, what should he wear? Instead of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said he should wear this and this, he said he should not wear this and this. That was the answer. Allahu Akbar. He said, لا يلبس القميص. He does not wear the garment. ولا العمامة, nor the turban. ولا البرانس. البرانس, they were some type of clothing. ولا السراويل, nor the pants of the Nuruddin. شوف أريد الترجمة ولا ثوبا مسه ورس ولا زعفران إيش أنت ولا ثوبا مسه ورس ولا زعفران the last one huh? A cloak turbans برانس no سراويل pants and what else ولا ثوبا مسه the hadith
A pair of trousers or a cloth touched with
wars,
a yellow, good-smelled plant used for dyeing.
Aynam, a dye that is yellow, okay? But it has a smell. Remember, the muhrim should not have any scent. Wala al-khufain, nor the khufs. That you well know the khufs that you wear on your feet. And the ulama, he says, and also included in that ruling, is the socks as well. So here the Prophet ﷺ, he was asked what the Muslim should wear. The Prophet ﷺ, he said he should not wear this. The ulama, when they explained this hadith, they says because there is a lot of things that is permissible for a person to wear. Okay, he's wear this. So he said he should not wear this to show the prohibition so that person, he knows the thing that they shouldn't wear. They know the thing that they shouldn't wear. قال شيخ الإسلام تيمية رحمه الله النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى المحرم أن يلبس القميص والبرانس والسراويل والخف والعمامة ونهاه من يغطي رأس المحرم بعد الموت وأمر من أحرم في جبة أن ينزعها عنه. Likewise, شيخ الإسلام تيمية رحمه الله تعالى, he says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم make it forbidden upon the محرم to wear the qamis, okay, the garment, the hood of the garments, the trousers, pants, the hoof, the turban. Likewise, he forbade the Muslims to cover the head of the muhrim who died. Okay? If a muhrim, somebody who's in ihram and died, they don't cover his head, amongst many other things. وَأَمَرَ مَنْ أَحْرَمَ فِي جُبَّ أَنْ يَنْزِعَهَا عَنْهُ. Likewise, if anyone made ihram, a jubba, ماذا ترجموها؟
It's anything similar to jubba.
to a garment. أينام, to a garment, they should take it. فما كان من هذا الجنس فهو ذريعة في معنى ما نهى عنه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he mentioned these examples, but anything that is similar. Okay? Hoodie, for example. Somebody says, oh, he mentioned jacket. No. It takes same rulings. Jackets, pajamas, you know, Hanes, briefs, all that takes same rulings. Anything that can fit in your body. قال فما كان معنى فهو مثله وليس له أن يلبس القميص بكم ولا بغيركم. So it is not permissible for the person who is in ihram, the muhrim, to wear any garment that have sleeves or no sleeves. Okay? Likewise, the t-shirts. وسواء أدخل إليها ولم يدخلها وسواء كان سليما أو مخروقا وكذلك لا يلبس الجبة والعباء لا يدخل في يديه. Anything. He cannot put anything around like to wear it as from the thing that usually the people they wear, such as cloaks, garments, t-shirts and the like. قال وإذا لم يجد المحرم نعلين لبس خفين. Now the Sheikh says, now the Sheikh Salih al-Fawzani says, if the muhrim, if he doesn't find two sandals, a pair of sandals, he wears khufs. He wears the khufs. وإذا لم يجد إزارا لبس السراويل إلى أن يجده. فإذا وجد إزارا نزع السراويل ولبس الإزار. لأن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم رخص في عرفات في لبس السراويل لمن لم يجد إزارا. Likewise, he said, if a person cannot find the izar, and the izar is that piece of cloth that you put around your waist and cover your bottom part of your body. But here the Prophet, the Shaykh, he says, if a person cannot find that, the person wear the pants, if there is that's the only thing available. Well, of course, now somebody may say, how can be? Because, subhanAllah, that stuff is available right now. But before, it wasn't. And who knows, time may come and the people don't find the peace. And you know, when you read about the Sahaba, you'll find that one of them used to have one izar. Like in a story of a man who wants to marry a woman, and the Prophet ﷺ says, what's the mahr you're going to give her? Do you have something? He says, no. Yeah, the men have no money. The Prophet ﷺ told him, go to the house, find anything, even if it's a khatam min hadith, an iron ring. The man went to his house, couldn't find anything to give the woman. Ya akhwa. And we think we got nothing, we broke. Our homes are loaded with stuff and we still like, oh, we got nothing. SubhanAllah. Here is a companion, he wants to get married, go home, couldn't find nothing to give his wife, to give this woman. Then he came back and the Prophet said, you couldn't find nothing. Then he says, I can give her my izhar. He said, if you give her your izhar, what are you going to have for? SubhanAllah. Yeah, SubhanAllah. Then after all that, the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, wait. And he waited. And then he said, come here, how am I? Do you know anything from Quran? He said, yeah, I memorized this surah. He said, okay, I marry her to you. Teach her what you know from the Quran. And we have, subhanAllah, closets. Not just, people didn't have no closets before. People, they have like six closets in their homes. Big closets. Some closets are for real, like a bedroom. I'm not talking about those mansions that are one closet is like an apartment. No, I'm talking about us. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, in our apartments, our houses, big closets, full of clothing. You know, the kitchen, has a big double open door fridge with the freezer, loaded packed stuff, just getting old and bad in there. And other, some of us, they don't have just one fridge, another one, right or wrong, in a garage, just in case. Loaded, not empty. Just in case, I don't know what case they're talking about. And a chest freezer, right or wrong. And the cabinets. How many cabinets do you have in the kitchen right now? Man, when I grew up in my house, we didn't have a kitchen. We didn't have a kitchen. There's no such thing in kitchen. Nothing. No fridge. We didn't have electricity. We didn't have running water in the house. We have a well. So if my mother wants to cook, what they do? She, of course, she'll send me, if I'm around, to go and collect some wood. Okay? And of course, sometimes I don't come back. And you know what that means. All right? And then that's when they cook. They put the fire. And then they have one little pot that they cook everything in it, and that's it. And one big dish. Once the food, we all get around, you have to be there to eat. If you come late, we used to do what? Go to the field of tomatoes, man. That's real. Take 4 or 5 tomatoes, that's your lunch. In the summer, the field of watermelon. Alhamdulillah, we grow up in a farm, and a lot of families around us, they have. So we have like the green light. You can go to any field, nobody tell you anything. Even though we don't have tomatoes, but hey, they know me, I'm from the area. If they see me in there, assalamu alaikum radwan, kaifak, yakallah. I eat. Likewise, we used to have some fig trees, big ones. But sometimes, a lot of time, that's your lunch. And especially at school time. Because in school in Morocco, they used to have this weird time. We used to go 7:30. The whole school, they divide the timing on two groups. They divide. Let's say the school have 1,000 students. They divide them on 500, 500. Because they didn't have enough rooms. So they divide it. So one group, the first 500, they all go at 7:30 to 10:30 a.m. And we have to leave. Why? So the other group come from 10:30 to 1:30. And we will come back from 1:30 to 3:30. And then the other group will come from 3:30 to 6:30. And sometimes you come at 10:30 and the school used to be 3 miles. No buses, no bikes, nothing. Take you like an hour walk. By the time you get there, no food, you go to the fig tree, eat 10 figs, that's your lunch. That's it. Bottom line. Sometimes you pass by in the neighbors, they have something, they give you a piece of bread. Now, subhanAllah, we have all this food and we have money. We can make a delivery call for food to come to us. And we still got to find some reason to say, man, we got nothing. SubhanAllah. Aynam, ikhwan. Allah al-musta'an. We have to thank Allah for what we have. And on top of that, we have guidance. How are you going to say you have nothing? What about guidance? You're upon the sunnah, upon salafiyah, subhanAllah, and you have clothing, not just one garment. You have many of them. You got a car. Some have 2 cars. You got a job. You got money that come in every week or every month. People are going through hardship as we speak. May Allah make it easy on the Muslims, I mean. Now, So the Shaykh, he says, if a person could not find an izar, yes, he can wear the pants, if he has a pants. But once he find an izar, if somebody look at him, for example, and say, hey, akhi, you're muhrim with us, you can't wear, akhi, I don't have an izar. Hey, I have an extra one. So once he give it to him, or he himself has the ability to get one, whether by buying it or somebody giving it to him, then at that moment, the Shaykh, that person should take off the pants and put the izar on. Of course, it has to do with somewhere when people cannot see him. Because the Prophet ﷺ has given permission to the companions, to the Muslims in Arafat. And he told them, anyone who could not find the izar, can wear, it's okay to wear pants. Allahu Akbar. As for the woman, the Shaykh says she wears her regular clothing in a state of ihram. Because the woman, she always covers herself properly. So women do not have a specific clothing of ihram. Like if it's some people, they gotta wear some green or some, I don't know, half yellow, half purple, because they said that their country give them that. There is no woman does not have a specific clothing of ihram. Their regular abaya and cover herself properly. Ayna'am. But she doesn't wear the niqab. Ayna'am. Or the burqa, that which the women usually they wear to cover their face with. But she still cover her face around the non-mahrams, whether with her khimar or with her jilbab. Okay? She does not put the niqab that she usually put on, nor the gloves, the woman. On a state of ihram, not the whole hajj, while she's on ihram. Once she finished that, what she has the ihram on, that's it, she has to do what she has to do usually. But she covered herself, her face with, and her hands with the khimar, or with the jilbab. Because the Prophet ﷺ says, لَا تَنْتَقِبُ الْمَرْأَ الْمُحْرِمُ وَلَا تَلْبَسُ الْقُفَّازَيْنِ رَوَهَ الْبُخَارِ وَغَيْرُهُ. Because of this hadith, collected by Imam Bukhari and other than him, the woman on her ihram, that she's performing Umrah or Hajj, does not wear niqab nor the gloves. But she still covers her face around other men who are not mahram to her. قال ابن القيم رحمه الله نهيه يعني صلى الله عليه وسلم أن تنتقب المرأة وتلبس القفازين دليل على أن وجهها كبدن الرجل لا كرأسه فيحرم عليها فيه ما وضع وفصل على قدر الوجه كالنقاب والبرقع لا على عدم ستره بالمقنع والجلباب ونحوهما وهذا صح القولين. ابن القيم سبحانه وتعالى mentioned a beautiful statement. He says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم when he made it prohibited for the woman to wear the niqab and the gloves, this is a proof that her face, the woman's face, take the ruling of the man's body, not like the man's head. You see? Like the man's body. So therefore it is not permissible for her to put on her face that which is fit the face. You see? The same way it's not permissible for the man to put anything on his body that fits the body. Right now. But however, he says, the woman, she still, while she's in a state of ihram, she still cover her face around the non-mahram. And ذلك لقول عائشة رضي الله عنها كان الركبان يمرون بنا ونحن محرمات مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فإذا حاذونا سدلت إحدانا جلبابها على وجهها فإذا جاوزونا كشفنا رواه أحمد وأبو داود وغيرهما. Because of the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the men who are traveling along with the Prophet ﷺ in Hajj, they used to pass by us, meaning by the wives and the women, the wives of the Prophet ﷺ and the women that are accompanying the Prophet ﷺ and accompanying their husbands from the companions, Ridwanullahi alayhim, for Hajj. She said, when the men they passed by us and we were upon Ihram with the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, when they were just by us, one of us will draw her jilbab on her face. So, once they pass us, then they take that jilbab off. Okay? Off the face, of course. Now. The Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan says, and it is no harm if that which the woman put on her face at that time touch her face, it's okay. If she put the khimar on her face to cover because there is other men around her, like if she's going to make tawaf, for example. She's going to make tawaf, there's a lot of many men. There is not tawaf for women. It's not like there is only one, there's no two Ka'bahs, by the way, there's only one Ka'bah, okay? And that's one thing. The second thing, there is no such time, okay, the women are going to do it after Fajr until Dhuhr. There's no such thing. That the Masjid al-Haram is open all time, alhamdulillah, 24/7. Every moment you go, there is open. It's not like our masajid here, you after Isha, they close and stuff. No, that masjid, because the Prophet ﷺ, he said it should not be closed, it should be open. And anyone who comes to the Masjid al-Haram in any moment, أي ساعة من ليل أو نهار, whether by night or by day, that masjid never closed, subhanAllah. Never. The masjid of the Prophet ﷺ, yes, in the regular days, under normal circumstances, outside the season of Hajj and Ramadan, they close it after Isha. Until like 2-3 hours before Fajr, they open it for Tahajjud, for the people who want to come early. But in Hajj, stays open too, all time. In Ramadan, stays open as well. But the Masjid al-Haram is always open. Now, so the women, they do that. So Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, so therefore it is not upon the woman to do anything so that she don't lead the material or the piece of cloth from her khimar or jilbab to touch her face. Some women, they have stick in here and stick in here. Some women, they keep doing it like this. No, they be creative. No, he said, it's okay. If it touch the face, it's all right. As long as they don't use something to hold it with it and become like the niqab. And also Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahu ta'ala, he says في كتاب الاختيار الفقهية, it is permissible for the woman to cover her face with anything except for the niqab. She just don't use the niqab, but she can put a khimar on her face and cover when she's around men that are not mahram for her. الخامس من محظورات الإحرام الطيب. Number 5 from the things that have become forbidden for the محرم, الطيب, perfumes and scents. فيحرم على المحرم تناول الطيب واستعماله في بدنه أو ثوبه أو استعماله في أكل أو شرب, لأنه صلى الله عليه وسلم أمر صاحب الجبة بغسل الطيب ونزع الجبة. So it is forbidden for the muhrim to use scents and perfumes, whether in his body or in his clothing that he wear for the ihram, or to use any scent or any aromas for his food or for his drinks. Okay? Because the Prophet ﷺ, he commanded the man who has that jubba that has that scent on it to wash it. To wash that and to take it off and to wash it. وقال في المحرم الذي وقصته راحلته ولا تحنطوه متفق عليهما أي لا تحنطوه يعني لا تغطوا رأسه ولا ولمسلم ولا تمسوه بطيب. And also the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said about the man, because one of the companions was with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he fell off the camel, and the camel struck that man, he died while in a state of ihram. The Prophet ﷺ, he said to them, do not cover his head and do not wash him with any scent, because usually when you wash do not touch him with any scent, don't put no scent on him, don't put no scent, and don't cover his head. And as it is clear in the narration, Sahih Muslim, لا تمسوه بطيب. Don't put no sense. So the muhrim, it is not treated the same way a regular Muslim when he dies. La. He is buried in his ihram without covering his head and without putting any scent, because the Prophet says, فإنه يبعث ملبيا. He will be resurrected, that person, making talbiyah in a state of ihram. And he says the hikmah, the wisdom behind that the muhrim should stay away from perfume and scents, because at that time you have to focus on the akhirah, not on yourself. You want to look nice, you want to trim your hair, you want to like look nice and put perfume here. You shouldn't worry about the dunya at that moment. As soon as you put that ihram on and you make that intention, now you're doing acts of worship that are going to help you in Yawm al-Qiyamah. So you focus on that, that's like, oh, looking good. No, alhamdulillah, you worry about doing your ibadah and a lot of adhkar, recitation of the Quran and the like. ولا يجوز للمحرم قصد شم الطيب ولا الأدهان بالمواد المطيبة. Likewise, he says, a person who's in ihram, he don't go and smell the, he don't smell the these perfumes and scents. So you pay attention if you go make Hajj or Umrah, you want to buy some oils, but be careful. The Shaykh, he says, you don't smell those things. While you're in ihram, you don't smell. You don't put it on your body, but you don't smell neither. But it's different if you're passing in a mall or by a store, and the Shaykh, he says qasd, that's why he says qasd, do it on purpose. But if you're passing in an area and somebody burning some incense, like they say, like they do sometimes, you will see it over there because they burn that oud so that you smell it. That's how they attract the who. The customers and the clients, they burn that oud, and you smell it. That smells good. What is it? Oh, this is Qastalani. From where? From India. That's the real. They get you there. Likewise, back home, they used to do barbecue. I don't know if they do it over here or not. They do barbecue for living. This is not like for fun. All right, for living. But then people don't know them. What they do, they put some grease, the fat of the animal, they put it in there so it make a big smoke, and some people see it from far and start coming. You see? I know. And likewise, that's not the ruling. If you pass by scent and you smell it, that's nothing on you, inshallah. السادس من محظورات الإحرام قتل الصيد صيد البر واصطياده. أي نعم، هذا ممكن أستعير منك الكتاب، ها؟ لأن هذا الصيد وهذا the game. نعم. I'm just going to read the English from now on, inshallah ta'ala, because we want to at least finish this chapter tonight. Number 6 or 7? 6. That's 6. A muhrim is also prohibited to kill game animals. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're putting perfume on, we just mentioned you don't put perfume. Huh? You taking notes? What was the past point? So, Ahmed, what was the last point? That the muhrim don't put no oil on, right? And why you put an oil on you? Oh, him, he did it. Okay, you answered the question, Muhammad. Why? We just finished the point.
I'm not muhrim.
Ah, you're not a muhrim. That's the answer. Because he's not a muhrim. MashaAllah. Zakallah khair, Ahmed. It's okay. I got you, huh? Yeah, okay. MashaAllah. Good. MashaAllah. Tayyib. That's one of the ways that we find out if the people, they understand the class, they follow with us, okay? Alhamdulillah. It's like Sheikh Saleh al-Suhaimi when he came and visited us, Hafidhahullah, in America in 2011. And he asked a question. He was given a class on Ramadan. And he get on a point where of traveling, you know? And what do you do if you travel? Do you fast or you break the fast? What is the ruling? Do you remember? It's permissible, both. Okay? Whether if you fast or not. But then the Shaykh says, but wait a minute now. If a person go to make Hajj, and he said, the Shaykh said, you know how Ramadan go around the year. Ramadan doesn't always come in the winter, right? Ramadan sometimes come in December, then it comes in March, then it comes in the summer. He said, what if Ramadan coincide with the Hajj, catch up with Hajj, and it's very hot, what would you do now? Would you break the fast because so you can find some energy to perform Hajj correctly, and then you make up those days when you come back from Hajj, or do you just go ahead and fast? Hold on. See who's going to answer this question.
But Ramadan and Hajj can't.
Sorry. Who wants to answer this question? Ma'ali Ma'ruf, answer the question. Fadda. Who knows the answer? Na'am akhi. Huh? They don't? Ahsant. Na'am. And I remember that was like some 14 years ago, and I still remember a lot of people was like debating. Sheikh was smiling. I was next to him translating, and he's like, oh, Muhammad, don't say anything. He got me at first too. I was thinking about it. And then people was like, no, Sheikh, I will fast. I'm strong. Sheikh was like, mashallah, yeah, you are strong. Then somebody said, no, Sheikh, Hajj is important. If I fast and I get weak, I cannot stand in Arafat. I cannot do tawaf right. I'm just going to break Ramadan because it's permissible to break the Ramadan while you're traveling, right or wrong? No? Alhamdulillah. The Sheikh was just looking. Then when he tell us, Ikhwan, Ramadan never catch up with Hajj. Because Ramadan is the month number 9. And the Hajj coming in the month number 10. They will never come together. But that was a tricky question. But people didn't pay attention to it. I don't know. So,
you're saying it's not 10, it's 12? But it's actually the entire Hajj period, if you're talking about
12, like the month, what did I say? Month 10?
You said 10.
Oh, no, 12, Ahsant. Now the 12th month.
Well, you can start your Umrah of Fajr if you're doing Tamattu.
On 10th, Ahsant, yes. But we're talking about the real Hajj, like Arafat and all that. That's in the 12th month. So they will never catch up together, never. So even if a person do a Umrah in Ramadan, the Umrah is not counted as Tamattu. It has to be in Shawwal. The sixth, we're going to read this one briefly. A Muhrim is also prohibited to kill game animals, meaning no hunting. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, do not kill game while you are in the state of ihram. Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 95. And that is, do not kill game animals while being in a state of ihram to perform Hajj or Umrah. Also Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, But forbidden to you is game from the land as long as you are in the state of ihram. Al-Ma'idah 96. The Shaykh Hafidahullah, he says, that is to say, those in a state of ihram are forbidden to hunt or kill game animals, or help in hunting or slaughtering them. Can't help those who did it. Likewise, it is prohibited for a muhrim to eat a game animal which he hunted, which was hunted for him, or which he helped in hunting. So you can't eat from these things, as it will be regarded as a dead animal in this case, which is unlawful to eat. Still, it is not prohibited for a muhrim to eat fish or animals from the sea. It's okay to eat to go fishing, but it's permissible to eat lamb and to eat meat. You don't hunt, but you can eat. Now there is restaurants, alhamdulillah. Still, it is not prohibited for a muhrim to eat fish or animals from the sea, whether he hunts it, catch it himself, or anyone else does it for him. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, lawful to you is game from the sea and its food. Surah Al-Ma'idah, verse 96. On the other hand, it is permissible for a muhrim to slaughter a domestic animal, such as chicken, sheep, cattle, as they are not game animals. Okay? These are not games, but he cannot chase a rabbit, chase a deer, for example, or a wild turkey. Can't do that. But he can buy a chicken and slaughter it and cook it and eat it. It's okay. Aina. A muhrim is also permitted to kill wild inedible animals such as lions, tigers. For such creatures threaten people's lives. He said generally, if a muhrim has to do any of the acts prohibited during ihram for a legal excuse, he or she is permitted to do it, provided he or she is to slaughter a sacrificial animal in expiation, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah verse 196, and whoever among you is ill or has an ailment of the head, therefore making shaven necessary, must offer a ransom of fasting 3 days or charity or sacrifice. That's the expiation for that. And we stop here. We will continue, inshallah ta'ala, the next time.
Huh? The insects. I mean, mosquito.
No, yes, you can. No. They are not from the games. هذا وصلى الله وسلم على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا.